Welcome to Reflections and Wonders, Revisiting Luke's Gospel, a podcast that's just me wondering off the top of my head about Luke's Gospel for the second time in 3 years. My name is Norm Seeley, and I'm a minister at Jubilee United Church in Toronto, Canada. I've been a minister for over 30 years, and every year my thoughts and wonderings change. So, Monday to Friday, I'll be reading my way through Luke, even though I read through Luke in 2021. But the thing is, the world's changed. I've changed, and so I expect that my wonderings will have changed as well. I don't have notes, and I haven't checked back to see what I said 3 years ago, but I am kind of looking forward to hearing what I say now. Or more importantly, what I think God may be saying to me now. I do want to thank Drew Winters for the music and you for joining me. I will do my best to keep my wanderings between 18 and 30 minutes, but every once in a while we may go a couple minutes long. You should also know that this is an audio version of a video blog that I will have recorded 2 weeks ago. So, if you want to see what I look like when I'm wandering, well, you can find me on my YouTube channel. Just search Norm Seeley. That's Norm Seeley, S-E-L-I. Or even easier, find me on the Jubilee United Church website, www.jubileeunited.ca. And if you want to support this and other digital ministries of Jubilee United Church, well, you can make a donation through canadahelps.org. We are Jubilee United Church, the one in Ontario. So now, let's see what Luke has to say this time around. Today it's Luke chapter 10, verses 25 to 28. We've heard in the last couple of days that Jesus sent the 70 out ahead of him to proclaim the kingdom of God, to heal, and they did. And it was amazing. They came back going, wow, even the demons listened to us. This is fantastic. Jesus said, yeah, but you know, don't get excited about what you've done. Get excited about the fact that you're doing this with God. This is God's love, God's power, God's, you know, that. Kind of thing. And they seem to have gotten it. Jesus also rejoiced and said, like extremely, Jesus was thrilled as well. So everybody's really excited that this is happening, that God's love is being shared in the world. The kingdom is being proclaimed, not just by Jesus, but by the 12, by the 70. It's growing that way. So everybody seems to be pretty happy about it. And Jesus said yesterday, too, at the end of it, to the 70, that they are seeing things, they're getting it. They're seeing things that prophets and kings before them wanted to see but couldn't. And then we move into this. So here it is, Luke 10, 25 to 28. Just then a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, what is written in the law? What do you read there? He answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, you have given the right answer. Do this and you will live. Now that's probably familiar words to most of us, often called the greatest commandment. Every preacher I know has preached this several times. You know, it's the greatest commandment, but it's really two commandments. Oh, it's really three commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Love your neighbor as yourself. And there's lots to be done of that, but it's all about love. I don't think you need me to preach that. You can wander through that one yourself. I'm just sort of looking at the context of it all, what strikes me. So it says, just then a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. And, you know, it's interesting. I would suggest to you a lawyer is a scribe. Scribe is a lawyer, right? So he could have said, then a scribe stood up to test Jesus, which would make a little more sense. I mean, you know, we're used to hearing about the scribes and the Pharisees and that they're always questioning Jesus. They're religious officials of different ranking. But part of their job is to is to verify, you know, to check Jesus out. Is he the real deal? You know, through examination, through argument, to see if what he says is of merit. So, of course, it makes sense that you would be asking questions. But a scribe is doing it based on the rules, so very much like a lawyer. So a lawyer, a scribe, somebody familiar with the rules, basically, gets up and says, okay, so wait a minute, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Now remember, just a moment ago, Jesus was saying to the 70 who've gone out and incredible things have happened. Their names are written in the book of heaven. They're working with God. They are in a good, healthy, life-giving relationship with God. Never been in a better situation. And they're thrilled, and Jesus is thrilled. Meanwhile, a scribe, who happens to be there as well in the crowd, says, whoa, okay, what do I do this? How do I inherit eternal life? Now, sometimes when we hear that, it's like, how do I get to go to heaven? And I don't believe that that's what we're talking about. When we're talking about in inheriting an eternal life, I think it is having your name written in the book of heaven. I think it is, how do I get on side with God? How do I get into this healthy relationship where I am connected to the eternal nature of life, where I'm seeing more? In the same way that the prophets and the kings wanted to see more but couldn't, and these ones can, how do I get to see this moreness? How do I get to see God at work in the world? How do I get to be part of God being at work in the world? Fair question. It's a great question for a scribe to ask, but it's also a question that I'd be asking. If I saw all that rejoicing, Jesus is happy, they're happy, I want to be part of this. How do I get to be part of this? And I wonder how many of us have come to faith through that experience of, how do I get to be part of this? See, a lot of us grew up in faith. Our parents took us to, in my situation, took me to church. And I went to the requisite, you know, Sunday school, church school things. I learned my lessons. Eventually, I moved from downstairs, upstairs into church. And there you go. And I know a lot of people have gone that path. And I will say, frankly, many of them are very pedestrian in their faith, very stuck in their faith, very much fixated on the Jesus they met when they were 7. Which is not to knock the Jesus they met when they were 7. However, I've also met people who have come to church, to a faith community, come to faith later in their lives. And I'm thinking of 4 people right now who have sort of come to my church in the last year, who came from no church background, but were present at a church event, and said, I want this. How do I get this? And literally, I had one person come to me and say, how do I get this? How do I join this? Are there lessons I have to take? Is there a fee I pay? How do I get this? And we talked about it. Like, what is it you want? And I eventually said to this person, well, you know what you need to do? Come and hang out with us. Come with us on a Sunday. Come with us on a Tuesday. We're doing this. Come and be with us. Well, can I be a member that way? Yeah, sure you can. Come, be with us, and as it makes sense, you will grow in the faith. We will be including you. We will grow in this together, because you will bring something to our community. Our community will bring something to you. And then together, we'll connect. But it's not because you learned, passed an exam. It's not because you paid a fee. It's just because you come and be part. That's how you do it. Right? And I look at the faith of that person and 3 others I'm thinking of, so 4 who again have come to the church fairly recently, and their exuberance, their joy is incredible. The level of activity and involvement is amazing, And in many ways, far more so than some people who just sort of came and they just keep coming to church out of habit. No, no, these people came because there was something and they said, I'd like some of that. How do I get to be part of that? And then I think it's incumbent on any kind of faith community to make that available. I also think it's incumbent on people of faith when someone comes and says, how do I get what you have? Just to simply share your story and invite them into your practice. Okay, it's not like you can sort of give them a list. Well, here's the 10 things that I do for my faith. There you go, I've written them down. You take that and you're done. I think it's more a question of, well, so here's what I do. Here's what I think and feel, and here's how I've come to this thing. Why don't you come to church with me on Sunday? Why don't you come to a community table with me? Why don't you come out? We get together for coffee at the church every week. Why don't you come and meet some of the people and we'll chat? Oh, you know, I'm doing this study at the church. It's really great. We're reading this book together. Why don't you come and join us in that? So rather than saying to somebody, okay, here's the distillation of what I've learned, so you can pass an exam, instead you invite them into the experience and then let them connect with themselves. See, that's what makes sense to me, because people connect their way. It's not lost on me that it's a scribe who says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, what's written in the law? The scribe is an expert in the law. So what's written in the law? Jesus is speaking to that person. If a carpenter came to me and said, you know what, Norm, I really would like to be part of what you've got going on at that church. How do I? So you know what? We got a building project next week. We're going to do that. Why don't you come and help out? And then I would speak to that person and to their needs, to their particular self. You know, somebody else, parents of a young family. So we've got a young families group. Why don't you come out to that? I think it's important to build those bridges. You can't take people across the bridge themselves, but you can offer it to them. Jesus speaks to a scribe about the law because that's what a scribe gets. People who are lonely, we talk to, you know, how they can connect in a social setting. People who really love to dig into things, you invite them into a study group. You know, it's about finding the right connection. And Jesus finds that connection. And invites this person again into relationship. Doesn't just sort of say, well, here you go, here are the rules, follow that. What's written in the law? What is it? What do you read? What do you read? What do you think? And so now the scribe answers, offering something of his own experience. Well, you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. He's reciting what he knows, but also sharing what he believes. And Jesus goes, that's it, exactly. See, we do connect. You've given the right answer. So do that. I imagine there is an invitation there for the scribe to realize the very thing he wants to do is not happening within his faith practice right now. He knows all the rules. He knows all the regulations. He's an expert in them. He can recite them. But all the rules and regulations and recitations and all that has actually maybe dulled his senses a little bit. And so that he's not really loving the Lord God with all of his heart, with all of himself, with all of his strength. No, it's all. It doesn't say love the Lord your God with heart and soul and strength and mind. No, no. It's love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, all your mind. Jesus is calling this person, I think, to be passionate, but not by telling him you need to give it all, by letting him say it himself. You should love the Lord your God with all your heart. As he says that, is his mind, I mean, mine would be, but is his mind going like, all right, do I really give all my heart, all of my soul? Do I really put it right out there on the table completely? All of my strength, all of my mind? And you think about the 70 who were sent out, and Jesus sent them out and told them to be vulnerable. You're going out like sheep among wolves. You are putting it all on the table. By the way, they all came back. Nobody got eaten by wolves. Right? But the point is that they gave all of themselves. I think there are a number of us who would give more in our faith, but we worry that it creates a distance between us and family members sometimes. We don't want our children to think that we're weirdo zealots. We don't want our neighbors to be afraid of us. Oh, God. See, lies in some kind of cult. Look at that. We get it. You know, Ash Wednesday, lots of people won't have the ashes on their forehead. Absolutely. And other people, it's like, my hand will be fine. Thanks very much. And I respect that. I don't think that the ashes on the forehead is better than the hand. I just think that we sort of recognize that, yeah, I want to be public about this, and I don't want to be. I want to keep my faith private and to myself. The question is not whether you're public and intentional, and you know, it's not so much that and explicit, as much as it is it your whole heart? And you will involve your whole heart, your whole soul, all your strength, all of your, you'll engage those differently. It'll look different for you than it does for me. But it's an invitation to just wonder, am I really putting it all on the line for my faith? All of my strength, or am I holding something back? All of my mind, am I really working on this, or am I holding something back? Because I'll tell you, that does happen too. I don't want to get too critical about my faith, because what if I end up wrecking my faith? What if I think it through and decide that this stuff isn't real? So, you know, I'm just going to shut that down. I'm not going to have a discussion with anybody about it. I'm just going to shut that down. I don't want to think too hard about it, because my faith is fragile, and I like it the way it is. And I respect that. I respect that. But I would also say that you needn't be afraid to critically examine your faith. You needn't be afraid of bringing yourself, all of yourself, to your faith. If there's a disconnect, keep at it and you will reconnect. I mean, that's what I believe as a matter of faith. What I hear in this greatest commandment is that I am meant to love God with all of me. And then, by the way, I'm also meant to love my neighbor. When all is said and done, it isn't all about me. I'm meant to give all of me, but I'm meant to connect with others. I'm meant to love my neighbor. You want to have what those 70 have? That thrill? That, oh my God, it works? Then you know what? You got to be about more than you, and you got to give all of yourself to it. That, to me, is what Jesus is saying there. And he's saying it to a scribe who is a lawyer. So we're going to talk about it in terms of the law. And he can recite the scripture for it. But if I'm talking to a carpenter, I'm telling maybe a different story. If I'm talking to a nurse, I'm talking to a teacher. If I'm talking to someone who's lonely, if I'm talking to a young person, an old person, it's going to be a little bit different, because all of us make our connections. Right? So, if I'm talking to a child who asks me, what must I do to inherit eternal life? So what is the best that you've ever felt? And why did you feel that way? And then, how could you help others feel that way too? That might be the very way I would have that discussion with the child. I don't know, I'm imagining it. But the idea is, how do you invite people to engage, to think about it themselves, and to give of themselves maximally? I'm always amazed that that's a word. But it is, maximally. How do you invite people to give entirely of themselves, to give all of it? You know what? I think I'm actually going to leave it right there. I haven't gone very long, but I'm going to start talking in circles, and there's no point in doing that. So I'm going to leave this with you. What do you think of this greatest commandment? How does your faith work for you? Do you feel that you give all? And if you were trying to share your faith with somebody, somebody came to ask you the same question, how do I get this? How might you answer that? I think those are the kind of things to wonder about. And hey, you got all weekend. So, you know what? Let me offer a prayer and we'll get on with it. So let us pray. Loving God, we come into this moment grateful for your presence and hoping, striving to bring all of ourselves into this moment as well. As we wonder, we hope to wonder with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind. God, as we give all of ourselves, let us recognize that you too give all to us, that we might hear your voice, that we might follow you, that we might grow in faith. We pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit. Amen. So friends, thank you for today. God bless you. Have a wonderful weekend. And yes, please know that you are blessed. Please know that God sees you and knows you and loves you. But God's love doesn't just comfort you. It actually moves through you and into the world, inviting you to give not just all of your heart and all of your soul and all of your strength, but also to give God's love to your neighbor and to yourself. That's what it is to be blessed. So God bless you. Have a great weekend. I look forward to seeing you on Monday.